West. But state and local officials soon discover their hands are largely tied, because guess what? The feds have sole jurisdiction in this arena. So we can go out and we can go down to Salem. We can go up to Olympia. We can protest in the halls of state legislatures. But you know what? When push comes to shove, it's the feds that make a decision on these trains. So, and search engine giant Google is going to give Europeans a taste of its own medicine, which is okay if they don't mind the American way. Choices winnowed and filtered in a manner that makes it look as if the machine knows what we want before we want it. Alas, it's more like the big machine decides what we want before we want it. And a Seattle company is being given the green light to develop plans to build the West Coast's first offshore wind energy farm. This one's going to, unlike the ones on the East Coast, and you've probably all seen the pictures, this is going to be a floating contraption, turbines off Farragut's Coos Bay. Wow, they've really got it in for Coos Bay, don't they? If it's not the Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas terminal, it's going to be floating. Let's hope they stay floating, too. Offshore wind turbines. And the very notion of anti-LGBT sentiment at the Olympics is so preposterous, defies analysis. There are stories on that. I don't know if we have time for it. There are other headlines, too. But we have Josh Laughlin on the line with Cascadia Wildlands to talk about the recent triumph regarding logging in the Elliott State Forest. Good morning, Josh. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, Elliott State Forest, this has been a contentious issue. It's to anyone who knows anything about forests, not forestry, but forests, knows what a fragile habitat it is. And also anyone knows anything about life systems. This is an organism. When you kill off the marbled murrelet or any other species, part of the greater organism, life on the planet, part of that organism dies. So what have we accomplished here with Elliott State Forest?
Right. Well, yesterday we found a settlement with the state of Oregon, Cascadia Wildlands, and Audubon Society of Portland and Center for Biological Diversity reached an agreement that settled our legal challenge that alleged that the state of Oregon, specifically the Oregon Department of Forestry, was illegally harming the imperiled and federally endangered marbled murrelet, which is a coastal seabird that spends most of its life bobbing around the ocean and fishing, but uniquely nests in these remaining coastal older forests. And the forest practices on the Elliott State Forest and the Clatsop and the Tillamook State Forest west of Portland had really been recklessly logged for the past number of decades with little regard for this imperiled species that's teetering on the brink of extinction. And we challenged their logging practices. This is the Oregon Department of Forestry's, and reached a settlement agreement yesterday with the state of Oregon after they canceled 28 egregious older forest logging projects in occupied marbled murrelet habitat. And we were also able to get the state to significantly revise its marbled murrelet policy for when it discovers murrelets in proposed timber sales and what it must then do. So really it sets in motion a plan that provides much more robust protection measures for this imperiled species and therefore will safeguard much more so these remaining older forests that continue to exist on our state public forest lands.
And one thing that has not been brought to the public's attention is how the marbled murrelet, that connects all the way up and down. It's not just a food chain, it's a food net. And the creature connects up and down much smaller creatures. We know that the human body itself is 90% bacteria. What if we would just take out critical parts of the organism that's life on the planet? We don't know where any of this ends. We don't know where it begins. We don't have any idea how critical each individual species is. And for all we know, we are destroying some of those critical blocks. I want to thank you so much for that, Josh. It's been great speaking with you. And word to activists out there, keep the pressure on. And like the oil trains and oil pipelines, this is not a federal issue. This is something we can actually do about here and thereby put pressure on federal agencies. Thanks again for that. We are about to, I believe. We're not going quite out yet. We've got Walter Tomasitis on the line. Good morning, Walter, and welcome back to the KBOO airwaves. We are in the middle of winter membership drive, which makes things a little bit rocky. In fact, it's the first day. Welcome to KBOO. Thanks for being with us. And whistleblowing at Hanford. We are about to launch a whole series on the history of whistleblowing. It really does begin with Leslie Groves, who in the cavalier manner of the military said that were it not for the fact that we were at war, that Hanford's construction was reckless to the extreme. So how have you seen this? This is a very deep this is deep structure problems. What have you seen there?
Yes, I've seen that the contractors continue on taking chances and do not approach the problems properly, and then they get paid more money to fix them. And then meanwhile, if anybody raises a concern like me, the taxpayers pay for the defense of the company. So the government has got to take some action against the contractors and send a signal not to take this reckless approach.
So, apart from this incredibly reckless and amazingly dangerous, no regard for public safety in the construction, right down through the history of the place, what has been done, the harassment and what they did to you and what they've done to other people who did raise the alarm, other whistleblowers.
They just stiff-arm them and use the taxpayer money supports their defense. The money from the taxpayers, the companies are reimbursed. They fight it. They delay. They use every legal tactic to dissuade the employees from raising issues like me. They put me in the basement, they fire me, and it sends a signal to other employees, don't raise concerns. So the companies then can continue on, make their money, and go forward.
And they made threats against other whistleblowers too. They've tapped phones and in some cases actually gone so far as to endanger people's lives. I read this in High Country News.
The High Country News was a great article, and yes, they talked about a lot of that with the people in the past. And the main point of the High Country News article is you can see the history of all the people that have been retaliated against, and you say, geez, why hasn't it stopped? It hasn't stopped because no action has been taken against the contractors.
And that's where we have to leave it for now. I'd like to have you back. In fact, we will be speaking again, I hope, because I want to do this series. I want to hear from everyone, all of the people who have been associated with Hanford and have suffered the consequences for their courage. Thanks again. We've been speaking with Dr. Walter Tomasitis.
Okay, thank you.
He's been one of the lead whistleblowers and certainly one of the lead scientists out at Hanford, knows what was actually going on. Now we're going to find out what's actually going on here at KBOO. I believe we have Lynn Moylick and Conch out there. Ready to tell you all the reasons that you probably already know why membership in KBOO is the best thing you can do for your community. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Conch.
Good morning, Chris. Chris Andre, the hardest working woman in show business. She comes in every day and does this incredible work. It's only about 15 minutes, but she gets about three amazing newsmakers on the line along
with all
of
her research. She gets 3 hours into that 15 minutes.
And there is one way I know of that you can thank Chris Andre for all the volunteer work that she puts in addition to all the contributions she makes to KBOO, and they are considerable. You can call toll-free right now, 877-500-KBOO, and become a member. You can become a basic member at $40 a year, but wouldn't you like to become a $5 a month member? That's only $60 a year total, and for that, you can get a copy of Greg Palast's movie. I think we have a couple of those left. It's an amazing movie about vultures, the financial vultures that are around, and so many other investigative things that Greg Palast did, and you may have heard him this morning.
It's informative and entertaining, as Greg Palast always.
I have just been amazed at how much information there has been brought to the KBOO listening audience this morning, just in the past couple of hours. Chris Andre, just capping it off, and we're going to go out and we're going to hear an amazing tribute to Pete Seeger. That's coming up on Flashpoint, so don't go anywhere except to your computer, where you can dial in KBOO.FM, click through where it says Donate Today at the upper right-hand corner on the little jar, and you can even choose a thank you gift there. Or it's much easier when you call one of our people here, one of our volunteers who are on the phones. What's the number to call one of those volunteers on the phones here?
I would just call 877-500-5266. Got a little break between shows here. It's time to show your support for Chris Andre and right before Flashpoints, and then you can continue listening to the best news and public affairs in the area, brought to you by KBOO. And speaking of those letters, KBOO.FM is another place you can go to our homepage, click Donate Today, and it will take you right into your easy peasy donation. You can do 60, but the amount that you give, that is up to you, but that you do it, that is the important thing. It is important. It is vital. 877-500-5266. KBOO is an important media piece of not just Portland, but the entire nation. Dare I say, the world.
We do have members from around the world, because there are so many places that do not have a community radio station. My hometown of Chicago, our hometown of Chicago, by the way. For example, there are college stations. There are kids spinning some crazy music and doing the news. But there's nothing like this. There's nothing like the community radio station, where there are people of all ages, from grade school kids, you know, up to folks who have been here for decades, bringing you some amazing culture.
That's why we call it a community. It's full of all kinds of people, because that's what communities are, and that's what this community radio station is. And if you call 877-500-5266, you may become a member. You may become part of this community.
And the community behind us is ready to tell talk to you about the best way to become a member. If you are a low-income person or a youth person, they'll tell you how to do things. If you want to pay by credit card, that's good. If you want to get a monthly deduction from checking. But it all starts with you calling toll-free, 877-500-KBOO. We're going to check out this Pete Seeger special now with Flashpoints, and Dennis Bernstein is the host. Let's go straight to that.
Flashpoints, we celebrate the life and times of the great singer and songwriter, radical political activist, Pete Seeger. We've got some beautiful sounds for you to remember, Pete. Stay with us. All this straight ahead. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, Pete Seeger, I can't call him an old friend, but I can tell you, interviewed him a bunch of times. He's the first radio news interview that I ever did at a protest against a nuclear reactor in Shoreham on Long Island. An amazing human being. The first thing he said to me, the first thing he ever said to me is, well, what do I care about? Why am I here? I'm here to resist nukes, but I'm here to say, well, any bunch of kids could get some tools, get a few scrap metals, some wood, and they can build their own solar collector. That was Pete Seeger as he came off the Clearwater, his boat founded to clean up the Hudson, which he did. The Hudson River was not swimmable until Pete Seeger and the Clearwater and all the folks that supported that movement jumped in, and he cleaned the river. Pete Seeger has done so much for so many people. Oh, we're going to miss him, but we're going to celebrate him right now.
It's very possible that I would not have been a musician. I would just save music to be something to have fun with. And I could have been very happy as a forest ranger or a newspaper reporter. I really wanted to be a newspaper reporter.
That's the voice of Pete Seeger, perhaps the most controversial musician in American history. Yet more than anyone, Seeger has kept America singing by reminding us of our shared musical past. He's taught old songs to millions and shaped our country's national repertoire. Pete Seeger became the first musician in American history to be formally investigated for insurrection. What made him and his music so dangerous? The answer begins long before the FBI began chasing after folk singers. Back in 1919, when Constance Seeger gave birth to her third child in New York City. Here, in a 1976 recording, he recalls his upbringing.
I was born into a very easy life in many ways. My parents were professional musicians, and when they split up, I went spent my vacations with my grandparents, who had a lovely private house in the country. I didn't live in an ivory tower, but I lived in a woodland tower. I loved to go out hiking, and I actually knew so little about the world, it's funny. I mean, I was a babe in the wood. I knew all about plants and animals and could identify birds and snakes. I didn't even know that anti-Semitism existed. I didn't know what a Jew was until I was about 14 years old. My contact with black people was literally zero. My grandparents were very conservative, Republican, respectable people. I remember at age six seeing a cartoon in a newspaper, a fellow with a beard and a bomb in his hand. And I said, "Who's that?" He said, "Oh, that's a Bolshevik. He wants to blow up everything."
My father's convinced that great classical music was going to save the human race. After graduating from Harvard with very high marks in music, he met the president of the University of California, who was impressed by this very self-confident young man. He was appointed to build up a music department. His fellow professors radicalized him, though. One of them took him out to the lettuce fields in the valley, and he saw little kids that could have been his own children working for pennies out there. Came back and made a speech. "This is disgraceful that such things should be happening in America." But when World War I came, he made speeches against imperialist war and got fired. My mother said, "Can't you keep your mouth shut? You're not going to be drafted."
Pete Seeger's